SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two on this Friday weekend preview at the races, and another big Mid-Atlantic weekend, this time at Laurel for Maryland Million. And, of course, Jim McKay, Maryland Million, and McKay coming back from a Breeders' Cup. This is one of those great racing industry apocryphal tales, and it occurred to McKay on his way back to Maryland that how about a Breeders' Cup for the state breds and for the state stallion offspring, and that is the impetus not just for Maryland Million but for state bred programs around the country. Jim Dunleavy, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. And they got a terrific group of races. And really, the weekend shows what a lasting impact McKay and this concept had, because tonight at Remington, the Oklahoma Classics, and tomorrow at Belmont, another showcase. And, of course, New York showcase days, upstate and downstate, and virtually every state bred program in the country will have a day to themselves, and I guess we got Jim McKay to thank.
This was the first, I believe, and as you pointed out, it's a little different than most of the breed days because it's for Maryland sired horses, and it's always been that way. And while most of, or just about all of the other state bred days are for New York breds or Oklahoma breds or California breds, what have you. So it's a little bit different. It's like Florida, I guess, where they do the Stallion Series. And,
yes.
You know, it's intended to, you know, encourage breeders and stallion farm owners in the state to kind of give them something to shoot for with their stallions, an incentive to bring in, you know, good stallions to the state to breed to their mares, and then you're eligible for this program, and this is your day to shine. So the Maryland sired horses have first preference in these states. The day is totally, it's really theirs. And a few years ago, they started allowing Maryland breds to get into these races if they didn't fill. So if there's on entry day, if there's five or fewer Maryland sired horses in a race, then the Maryland breds can get in. Otherwise, if there's six or more, the Maryland bred horses go to the also eligible list, and they can only get into the races if that field scratches down to five or fewer. So it's a little bit different. This year, they've got great numbers in all these races, which is exciting and is going to make tomorrow a terrific card. In the past, the numbers haven't been this good, but we've got more than 10 horses per race, almost 11 throughout the entire 12 race card.
Exactly, and it also includes a couple of starter handicaps. The purses of those have actually ticked up. They got as low as, I think, 30,000. Now they're back up to 50 and 60,000. The purses for the million races, 150 and 100 and 100 and a quarter. And as a result of, you know, the improved prospects for Maryland breeding and Maryland racing in general, well in evidence. You know, we've had the discussions when we come to Pimlico every year. Of course, you know, there are some hard decisions to be made the long term. A lot of commitment, obviously, from the Stronach team when it comes to Laurel and the infrastructure at Laurel. That's their long term play. In the meantime, we'll see what happens for Preakness and Old Hilltop. But this card, you know, you look up and down, a couple of highlights, Jim, and you know, touch on really wherever you want. The Classic and the Turf, certainly, with both nice. The two-year-old races, always interested in what's going on in the two-year-old front. We've got some veteran horses that have been making the rounds in these races for a long time. Start wherever you want.
Well, I guess to me the most interesting race is the Turf because of Flash Phelps coming back in there. He won the Turf in 2015, 2016, for the Hillwood Stables of Ellen Charles and trainer Rodney Jenkins. And then he got he was injured after making one start last year in 2017. I think he ran in the find, and he came out of it, and he worked a few times, and he came out of a workout with some cannon bone bruising. So he missed the rest of the year. So he didn't run in this in 2017. But he's now coming back, and nobody's ever won the Turf three times. And there's only, like, this is the 33rd edition of the Maryland Million. And in the first 32 runnings, there have only been, like, six horses who have ever won three Maryland Million races. And, of course, you could win as a two-year-old in the Nursery of the Lassie, and then you're eligible for your older division, too. But it's a very wonderful list. It's a prestigious list. I mean, it includes Hall of Fame runner Safely Kept. It includes Ben's Cat, who won the now-defunct Turf Sprint three consecutive years from 2010 to 2012. 8-2 Fast to Scratch is on that list. And there have been a few other horses who have won the Turf three times, but nobody's won it the third time, and he's shooting for that tomorrow. And I personally find that very interesting. He's stranded out in post 11. He's always been a very good horse. Victor Carrasco's ridden him to all seven of his career wins, and that's a high point for me on the card. We've got a couple of horses who look who are going to be heavily favored in their respective races. Lewis Field in the Maryland Million Sprint Handicap is going to carry 126 pounds. He's spotting considerable weight. I think 8 to 16 pounds to his opposition for trainer Jeff Runco. And he's had a very, very good year. I think we're getting to the end of the season. He's had a pretty ambitious season. So we got to see how much he has left in the tank, and he's carrying a lot of weight. Now, he's Maryland sired. He's in the body of the race. Lackey, or Lakai, I guess you might call it, trained by Damon DeLodovico, is a Maryland bred, and he's also weighted at 126, but because he's not Maryland sired, he's stuck on the also's and not likely to get in the race unless we have several scratches and the field gets down to five. If he gets in, we have a rematch of a stake a few while back where I think Lewis Field beat Lakai and they reversed the order. So the Stewards. So that's interesting. And then Crab Cakes comes back, a favorite, not only because of her Maryland-esque name, but she's very good. She's 6-for-8 at Laurel. She's 8-for-14 in her career. And she's in the distaff at 7 furlongs. And she looks very solid tomorrow also.
Quick survey of the two-year-olds. The Nursery and the Lassie.
Right. I'm interested tomorrow. My play of the day is in the Lassie, and trying to come up with a little bit of price in there. The favorite in there is going to be, who is the favorite in there? Let's see. I'm looking here. I'm playing against some little, but look, I want to take a very close look at Ben Perkins Jr. has Miss Philly Dilly in there, and Miss Philly Dilly is still a maiden. She finished second by her neck in her debut at Monmouth against Open Company, came back at Laurel against Open Company, and was second by 3 lengths to NJ's Brass, who was trained by Mike Trombetta. And NJ's Brass came back at Keeneland in just a week or two ago and was beating a nose in an open allowance at Keeneland. So I thought Miss Philly Dilly ran very well that day. and chasing NJ's Brass, who came back to run a super race. So I'm really looking at her in there.
And the boys race, Sky Magician, you mentioned Trombetta, 4-1, kind of a high price, actually 3-1 on Scrap Copper for Hammy Smith, and Trombetta 4-1. Those are your two favorites. And just looking up and down here, Rodney Jenkins out of the park, and Hammy with Hail Pass, so Smith well-represented. Jerry Robb, who's always tough with two-year-olds, should keep an eye on him, too, in both of these races.
Always, always. Out of the Park is an interesting horse, too, because he, once again, it's Hillwood Stable, it's Rodney Jenkins. He was bet pretty good in his debut in July. Bet down to 3-1, shot to the lead, came up empty, pretty well beaten fifth. Now he comes back and it's like 3 months later and he's a gelding and he's got all these nice works into him. He's been working with Top of Mind, who is another Jenkins horse who races today in a third level optional claimer at Laurel. So it's kind of interesting. They've been working this two-year-old against a six-year-old, and a pretty decent six-year-old too. He's only made, Top of Mind's only made two starts since a long layoff himself, but he's a back class type of horse, and Out of the Park is someone to keep an eye on in here, I think, too, even though, as you point out, Scrap Copper is the horse to beat.
Marilyn Million Day at Laurel, and a nice, really a nice card, and should have a good day, and the whole Eastern Seaboard able to get back on the grass these last couple of days, so that's a positive. And let's
take our...
Back on the
grass today. Everybody's waiting
nice.
For this. They've run one. This has been a very difficult year at Laurel. If you recall last spring, they had to wait a long time to get on the turf course. This has always been a very good turf course, too. But in the spring of this year, we had a very late winter, and they didn't get on the turf course until late. I was watching a replay the other day in April in the Mid-Atlantic, and it was a snowstorm. We had a very, very late spring this year, and then we went to Pimlico, and we got drenched during their big week then. So it's been a tough year in Maryland. And they've had more than 18 inches of rain than their normal average precipitation, and they have this fall meet is their best stake schedule of the meet to me, but a lot of it in September is geared to turf, and they have not, the whole program is really geared to turf. The turf is the heart of the Maryland program during the good weather months, and they have not been able to use the course. It just became saturated. Laurel is on a low-lying part of land that has a history of flooding many years ago. They actually raised the racetrack there from the level of the paddock, where they come out of the paddock and go up that hill to the track. I understand they raised the track, and that's why that hill is actually there. So parts of the grounds are on very low-lying land. It's a high water table. The infield lake is really like where the water table is, and the course got saturated in early September, and it's been cool and at night with heavy dew, and they've not been able to get it dried out, you know. And today they're back on. I spoke with Sal Sinatra yesterday. He said they probably could have got back on yesterday, but he didn't want to chew the course up for 2 days before Marilyn Million, so they were a little conservative. They took yesterday off. They're back on today. The weather's, it's going to be high 60s down there today and mid 60s or lower 60s tomorrow, and the turf should be good to go, and that's really good for the meet, because they've taken a hit down there having to, they've been entering for turf and then transferring the races to dirt,
sure,
and scratching down, it's been reflected in the handle on the races. So it's good to get back on. Normally, they can, on a good year, they can go into December on this turf course, and maybe we're due to dry out for a while now, and they can stay on it for the next 6 weeks or so.
Well, we turn our attention from Maryland and Maryland Million Day to Jim Dunleavy's category for the Daily Racing Form for Breeders' Cup. And the Turf Sprint, you've been monitoring, and it's going to be, as always, an overflow field, and there'll be preferences. I mentioned earlier before you came on, Rick Hammerly. Rick's going to be at Maryland Million Day, Jim, and then he heads to Kentucky to sit with the committee and put together these Breeders' Cup fields. Some thoughts from you as you track the field, and we know, and we've been laughing actually for several weeks, how Peter Miller, Christoph Clement, and Jason Service, they alone could basically host a Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint without anybody else.
Yes, they do. In my top 10, I have three horses trained by Peter Miller, Stormy Liberal, who won it last year, Richard's Boy, who will tune up this weekend just like he did last year against Statebreds and the California Flag out of Santa Anita, going 5 furlongs. So he's going to run this weekend, and pre-entries are due Monday. So this is Richard's Boy. He needs to put in a good effort here to be pre-entered, even though he was just beaten the nose in this race by Stormy Liberal a year ago. And then Conquest Tsunami, I thought, ran very well in the Eddie D down the hill. Led for a long ways, quick splits. Stormy Liberal ran him down late, but he's not one to be dismissed either. And then Jason Service has three himself. It's always a mixed bag race, the sprint, because it's not really a division. It's more of a niche. So you get, you know what I mean? These horses end up here because over time people find out this is what they want to do and this is what they're best at, sprinting on turf. And you get a very mixed bag group of horses. You got 3-year-olds, you got 8-year-olds, you got males, you have females. And So we're going to find out Monday. It's going to overfill, as you say, and I think the selection committee has some difficult decisions to make. We'll find out more about the European and overseas contingent at that time, too. I mean, they ran 6 win-and-you're-in races for the Breeders' Cup Turf this year. 4 of them were overseas. So it's pretty odd. And I think 1 in Japan and the rest in Europe. And we're going to find out more about which win-and-you're-in horses are coming. Disco Partner's definitely going. He won the Japer. The second one in North America was the Highlander up at Woodbine. Long on values, injured, won it, injured, out, not going. And Alpha Delfini and Havana Gray, who won win-and-you're-ins, they came back and did not run well at Longchamp last week. They have a free ticket, but they finished 8th and 11th. Are they coming? So we'll find out. The fillies and mares, we have Chanteline, who won at Keeneland this past week. She's going. Ruby Notion, who scratched out of that race. Darren Miller scratched her into instead train up to the Breeders' Cup instead of racing and coming back on 3 weeks. She wants in. And it seems like there's more deserving horses than there's spots in the gate. You know, the first 7 get in by your winning your ins and a graded stakes point system. And then the remaining 7 are, you know, up to the selection committee. So it's pretty difficult to sort out, I think. I mean, what do you do with Rainbow Air, who has run once since he won the Gulfstream Turf Sprint early in the year? He went to stud. He bred 35 mares. He came back. He ran terrific in the Turf Monster at Parks. And now he's got 1 race in all that time period. He closed very stoutly, and he's a contender if he's in, but he's got 1 race, you know. World of Trouble, that's a Jason Service horse. Another one, World of Trouble, is a 3-year-old, and he hasn't faced older horses yet. He's looked really good aired against two 3-year-old stakes, and I think he's very deserving to get into this field. I don't envy the selection committee at all.
You mentioned a couple of interesting names, and the Japanese horse. This is Fine Needle, a 5-year-old that's only ever run 7 times, and the Japanese, you know, they love this kinds of opportunities. The horse has been focused on 6 furlongs. There's a complete oddball 5-year-old by the name of El Astronaut, an Irish bred that comes out of a win at Maison Lafitte and has kind of bubbled up to the surface. We'll see. You mentioned Alpha Delfini, and we'll see what their decision is with the 7-year-old after the Prix de la Baie flop, 11th in there of 16. So there might be some decisions. Richard's boy runs this weekend, and Miller has been intending to, you know, have him ready for this. It's an interesting set of horses. World of Trouble, 3-year-old facing, and I think the only 3-year-old in the group. Oh, actually, take that back. Havana Gray. If Burke comes with Havana Gray, he's a 3-year-old as well. So there's a lot going on, as always, and looking forward to the decisions. You know, the news this week from Tim Gleishaw, too, Jim. Buchero's going to get a chance to stand stud, the son of Cantheros. They put a deal together, and excited for Tim Gleishaw. This has become one of my absolute favorite divisions, and with all the machinations, It very well may still be Stormy Liberal that the race goes through.
Yeah, and let's not forget the Florida. Pay Any Price, the 8-year-old.
Pay Any Price, absolutely.
Who never loses in Florida. Who, I know a lot of people down there, you know, you get regional favorites. Horses you just that gain people's respect by running hard every time you send them out. And he's very fast, and he's like won like what is it 8 of his last 11 or something.
Yep.
Some silly thing.
Yep.
Like that, and he's very fast, and he is the North American turf record holder at 5 furlongs, right? I think he set a world record. We don't really count world records anymore. We go with North American dirt and turf nowadays, but he ran 5 furlongs in 53-3. And that was in 2016, but he's still going strong. And I know Rich Averill and the Matisse brothers want to get him in the race and give him a chance to run. And I wrote about him this week, and I'd like to see him in there. I love fast horses, and he's very fast. He and Pure Sensation are, you know, about as quick as they come.
The Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, and 5.5 at Churchill, and looking forward to it. Jim Dunleavy, I appreciate this, and we'll be watching tomorrow. I'll be at Far Hills, but we'll be keeping tabs on everything going on, including Maryland Million Day at Laurel. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Jim Dunleavy, everybody, and you follow Jim at DRF Dunleavy. And Jim's got that whole Mid-Atlantic region. He's been also tracking the horses out of Philadelphia, like Imperial Hint and Mind Control, that are heading to Breeders' Cup as well. Take a break right here. You're going to listen to Sean Clancy when we come back, and then James Scully and Nick Luck, Mary Rampolini, and Steve Anderson on this weekend preview, an eye toward Breeders' Cup, keeping tabs on what is ahead this weekend, including Far Hills, where you'll hear Sean talk about 5 starters. I mean, unheard of. We'll hear from Sean next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track. for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sarmon Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
I can't put his name. The people of the day.
Back at the races, weekend preview, and the biggest action of the weekend at Far Hills. Obviously, we've talked all week, visits with Bill Gallo and Guy Torsilieri, and I guess other than Jack Fisher, nobody's got a bigger potential Saturday than River D Stable, and Sean Clancy joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Great to be here.
Looking up and down this card of seven races, and every race I'm going through, Clancy's got one here. Oh, River D. Oh, they got two in here. Oh, they look at this. They're in both divisions of the Fox Brook. This has got to be one of your biggest days ever.
No doubt. Yeah, I've certainly never run five horses in a day. Certainly never run five at the same meet. And, especially at a place like Far Hills. I mean, in steeplechasing, everybody's aiming for this day. I mean, that's what, our season, it's our Breeders' Cup. It's our, everything circles around this. We have the Iroquois in the spring and then, some spots at Saratoga. But ultimately, Far Hills is the spot in the fall. And so I bought some nice horses and, okay, hold on. Miles Clancy just brought me the Far Hills form. That a boy. Good job. Thanks, pal. Miles, he has a day off for parent-teacher conference. So, he's not playing hooky, so don't anybody get mad at me. But, no, a weak point for this race. I mean, this race meet, the great thing about Far Hills, they have divisions, similar to the Breeders' Cup. You have a three-year-old race, you have a novice race, you have maidens, the big race, the Grand National, you got a timber race, the New Jersey Hunt Cup, and then a handicap. So it represents every division. And for me, I mean, I've stood there at Far Hills many years. I rode races there, and then over the years, I provided a lot of winners for owners, Mr. Hot Stuff, Dowalon, those type of horses. And just in the last few years, I tried to change my focus a little bit and try to raise some money and be able to buy some of these horses for my own stable, River D. So that's what I've done. I've kind of changed it up a little bit, at least tried to be represented there. We've won some races in the past, won some maiden races, and some good races at Far Hills, but you know, tomorrow's going to be a big day for us.
Well, and you think about the race probably, must have been 2 years ago when Yellow Mountain won, and I know how thrilled you were that day to come in and have a pair in the Gladstone and then have one each in the Foxbrook, and really it's only going to take a couple of placements for this to be the best year ever. You're knocking on the door of the most earnings, and had six wins on the year, and so this being the biggest day of the calendar for the steeplechase season, it would be really a kind of a great way to close out the year.
No doubt. I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, I'm one of those people that look at the numbers a lot. I look at stats and try to, I can see that, we're on the cusp of our best year, and hoping to go over that, hoping to have a big day at Far Hills, and there's still some other race meets and, flat end jumps for the rest of the year, but Far Hills could make our year for sure. So we're excited. I mean, my first race I ever rode was at Far Hills on October 29th, 1983, in a pony race on a pony named Red Raven, who was a thoroughbred twin by Gunshot. And he won the race. I stood up at the finish line. I was riding an exercise saddle, and I pushed the stirrup leather off the bar of the saddle. That's probably as poor. It'll give you a good indication of what kind of rider I was. My legs were going and hooping and sending. And so I pushed the stirrup off the saddle, and I stood up at the wire, and the stirrup fell off the saddle. And I made it about five strides and fell off, and the pony ran over me and got seven stitches in my wrist. So I knew then what I was getting into, and only, I don't know if it's just pure stubbornness, my own personal stubbornness, or just something that's born in steeplechase people, but that was 1983, and I went on to do it for another 17 years and retired in 2000. So I'm either just stubborn or somehow glutton for punishment. But Far Hills has always been a special place. I mean, I was going up there with my father, running horses in the big races back in the 70s, and I've probably been, I'm 48 now, I've probably been to 40 renewals of Far Hills over the years. Haven't missed one in a long time now, and rode there every year. It's just, brings back great memories, and it's just a stellar day. I mean, when I travel internationally, you run into British, Irish, French trainers, and they ask you about American steeplechasing, and I always say, look, you got to come to Far Hills. It's a proper race course, big money, put in a really good show, safe ground, everything from the open bar and the food and the party after the races and the viewing. You stand up on the hillside, you see every fence. It's just the best. I mean, it is the premier American steeplechase venue, and that's not to say we don't have other great ones. I mean, believe me, I went to Middleburg last weekend and Nashville in the spring and all the others, and they're all different and they're all special, but Far Hills is just for all the reasons, between the purse and the location and the feel and the history, and it has everything.
Well, and of course, most people that get trampled and need stitches, none of them actually compete typically at Far Hills.
Right, exactly. Now, my great story, I had a fall at the Carolina Cup one day, and I was in the hospital, and the Carolina Cup was a real rager. I mean, the people were big college crowd and real kind of a wild scene, and I was in the hospital bed, and some guy comes staggering over to me. He's all covered in mud, and he said, "What happened to you?" I said, "Man, I fell off a horse." He said, "Horse? I fell off a camper." I looked at him, he looked at me, and neither one of us knew who was the smarter one or whatever. It was very funny. I'll never forget it. We laughed.
That's a great line. That's true.
I always think of that. I think of that. Every time I hear somebody say, "I fell off a horse," I say, "Horse? I fell off a camper."
I'm going to use that as that's going to be, we'll be using that punchline on the show forever now.
Exactly. We should make t-shirts, right?
Yes, exactly. Or name a horse.
Right, exactly. Yep.
You talked about the international aspect. What do you think the parimutuel addition is going to mean, Sean? Because there's real serious implications long term as to what starts on Saturday.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this year, for the first year having parimutuel wagering, I think it opens up some doors and opens up some viewers and people around the world. I mean, it is the good and the bad of American steeplechasing is there's very little betting, and when you explain that to people, most people don't get it. I mean, even American or especially international, they just can't get their head around it. Like, I can't have a bet. What do you mean I can't have a bet? And I think you suffer a little bit as far as getting real followers. You know, we have the steeplechase race meets get huge, huge crowds each individual weekend, but for the most part, those people aren't following it from week to week. I mean, they'll go, you know, you'll go to Charleston or go to Nashville, and there's 20, 30, 40,000 people at that race meet, but they're not following it to the next race meet. They don't really even know that you're going anywhere else. It's just kind of a one-off local celebration. So I think parimutuel wagering should at least open up the doors and have people following it around year-round. And if we can get another source of income to come in to be able to bolster purses and improve courses and maybe get new courses, I think that'll go a long way for the sport. Having said all that, it's pretty amazing that American steeplechasing can defy all the odds and have the success that it has without the betting. It's been able to raise sponsorship money and local support at all these individual race meets around the country. And it's pretty special, you know, when you look at, the dwindling crowds at flat racing and you see the steeplechase crowds, people just come out for the day of sport, no betting, and enjoy it for what it is, just a sporting day out. That's pretty special. I think the sport should be very proud of that. And the other part, I've always tried to promote this or just communicate this, every race meet is run for a charity. So, you know, Far Hills Steeplechase has given millions and millions of dollars to the local hospital there and the healthcare system in that area. They have the Steeplechase Cancer wing of the hospital. And, that's really special. And all these race meets do that for some charity around. You know, each place has a different charity, and they're all run, all the profits go to those charities, which is really special that we can raise that kind of money every weekend.
Well, absolutely, and Guy Torsilieri acknowledged everything at the Somerset Medical Center, and it's always a big part of the day. And there's the car raffle that raises, they sell 100 tickets at $100 a clip, and so forth, and. Or 1,000 tickets, excuse me, 1,000. I think it's 1,000 tickets at $100. That's what it
right.
is. And it all goes to the medical center. Well, let's raise some money for players, because this is the first set of Far Hills PPs in the last all the years I've been coming now, and it's about 6 or 7. And first time I've been able to look down on the page, Sean, and see little numbers underneath each post position. And I won't necessarily make you handicap your races, although who among the runners do you think has the best chance on the day?
Of my horses, I don't know. You know, it's hard. The 2-3-year-olds have chances. I think Flush will run better. He was a little green and got a little too far out of it. Shawn Downs, I think he'll improve. Lonely Weekend's got good flat form, making his first start. He's trained very well. I like that horse. Always liked him when Grand Motion had him. Motivational, I hate to pick a maiden that's been in a career maiden. He's over 5, but he's been 2nd, 3rd, 4th. He runs his race every time, and he's probably got the best chance. I like City Dreamer. I think he'll improve off his run at Belmont. He's a little free that day. He did a little too much running. I think he'll improve a lot. And Dripper Farrow is tricky. His first two races are really good this spring. He won a big race against Lord Justice in 65, who both came back and won. And then he chased Iranistan, who was just a spring phenom at Nashville. And then I was disappointed with his race at Belmont, and I don't really know why. He just was a little flat. I don't know if it was the ground, obviously off a layoff, but I was disappointed. I thought he should have run better. So as a bettor, I don't think I would be overly confident to go back in on him without knowing why that was a subpar race. So I guess if I was going to bet any of them, I'd probably bet City Dreamer just because I think he'll be a little bit of a price. Motivation will be a short price. Probably not worth taking that on a career maiden. And three-year-olds, I'd throw them in the mix. You could throw them in some exactas and tries. I think they both have some chances. You know, if you could focus on getting, you know, one of the horses. The 1-2 at Chouan, Snowy Hill, and Roller Rolls On, I thought were pretty impressive. I don't see why they wouldn't come back and run well, but could use either one of mine kind of thrown in there maybe.
Well, that first race that Sean's talking about, that's the Gladstone, and he's got Lonely Weekend and Flushed. Lonely Weekend, the 9, and Flushed is the 2. And then in that maiden group, in the maiden special, the second race, Motivational is the River D, and Motivational goes out as the... as the 8? Yeah, as the 8 horse. And then, of course, in the two divisions of the Foxbrook, in the first division, City Dreamer, the 2, 8-1. And I did say with Gallo today that yesterday that I thought that he was interesting because of how much speed there was, and that if he was to settle and sit behind, it looks like as many as 5 horses that want to be in the vanguard, and then come with a run under Willie McCarthy, that might be the ticket. 8-1, City Dreamer, and as it happens, Gibralfaro is also the 2 in the 5th race with the second division of the Foxbrook, and that leaves you free and clear to handicap the Grand National.
I thought the Grand National was tricky. You know, there's a lot of European horses obviously coming over. A lot of European horses that were, you know, once based there and based here now. And there's not really a standout. I mean, without some of the, usually you get a standout horse in there. You know, Jury Duty's probably the best one. I mean, Gordon Elliott's he's the greatest steeplechase trainer in the world today. Wins races everywhere. He's coming over. I think he's got a obviously good chance. He's a favorite, so you're not getting any price on him. I thought Hinterland ran very well. Belmont, surprisingly, I could see him running well at a bit of a price. And I'm partial to Dawalon. I just love that horse. I think you look back at his form, you know, he decimated Raw Knack, who was went on and won everything the next year. Coming off a long layoff, obviously concerned, hadn't run since May of 2017. But I know Cyril Murphy was aiming at this. It wasn't like something went wrong and he missed a prep. This is what he wanted to do. I saw him run. They did a little trials kind of race, a little day out, kind of an open day. People could come and have a little open, kind of a workout. And I thought he was pretty impressive there. I thought he looked good. Light horse. I think he's one of those horses that could, he can overcome the layoff because he's a quick, light type horse, not a big, stuffy, heavy horse. But, of course, I sold the horse to Irv Nail and I always rooted for him, so it might not be the most objective point of view. But I think he's a cool horse, and I'm anxious to see him come back and see if he can, you know, recapture some of his old form. He won the race before, won the Colonial Cup, and just dominated. I know, you know, Darren Nagle had his choice. He picked Avalon over all the way Jose. So I think he's interesting. I think it'd be fun to watch him. But I don't have a strong opinion. I mean, certainly times when I'd say, well, I just single this horse, or I love this horse, waiting for this race. I don't really see that horse in this race. I think it's pretty wide open.
I made the point with Bill Gallo that I didn't think they'd be running Dawalan. I didn't think that Mr. Naylor and Cyril Murphy would run him here if he wasn't ready to, you know, to run well. And the horse that may be, you know, the other Baffert, as it were, is Claire Cam. And it could just be that the ground and the flat track, it just wasn't to his liking in his tries upstate and at Belmont in the Turf Rider and the Lonesome Glory. He beat stablemate Jury Duty at Galway. And it might be that this is a preferred style of course, and Clark Cam is going to be, what, 6-8-1 maybe. I'm kind of gravitating in that direction.
Yeah, I did not like him at the major tracks. I mean, when he ran at Saratoga, I tossed him. I mean, I didn't use him in anything. I just never thought he was a racetrack horse.
tight track, firm ground, 2 miles. I never thought he was suitable for that. I was a little surprised they ran him back at Belmont. I thought after his race right off the plane at Saratoga, you know, they'd back off and kind of freshen him up and come here. He's certainly more suited to 2 5/8 up and down hills, far hills, than Saratoga. Although I'm just a little concerned that he's had a couple hard races and not sure how great he's doing now. I mean, just coming off those 2 hard races in New York. He had an easy lead at Belmont, loped along, and just kind of folded his tent pretty easily. But a cool horse. I mean, a talented horse, classy horse. Like I said, that's the race. I mean, it's a wide-open race, any of those horses. Hammerless Lake comes over. He's run okay. Days of Heaven has talent. All the Way Jose was beating the nose last year. You know, it's a wide-open group. So, it's not a standout this year. Without Zanjabil, who's out, you know, it ends up being this kind of race where it's just wide open.
Regarding Zanjabil, too, leader in the clubhouse and certain champion?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how he gets beat. I mean, if better than anybody in this race, that whoever wins this race, I don't think would upend Zanjabil. He won the, won the Iroquois and the Lonesome Glory, 2 Grade Ones. I think he's the winner. You know.
That's what I thought as well. Well, Sean, it should be just a tremendous Saturday. And, of course, your brother will be at Laurel to cover the Maryland Million again.
I know. It's a drag. It's a bummer to have these races all on the same day. I know Joe loves Far Hills, and we've always had a lot of fun going up there. But he's at Laurel. I'll be at Far Hills. I'll be doing double duty as a writer and an owner. And hopefully interview myself, I guess, for one, maybe.
at least once. You talked before, and I the over-under is 1.5. So those of you that
I'd settle for one, believe me. If I could win one race, it just makes your season. I mean, win a race there, because all these horses you buy and you hope to get there. So it's special to have 5, and you just hope you can win one.
Well, we're certainly rooting for you, and we'll enjoy the day. The weather is shaped up beautifully after some concern about some rain. That is gone. It's going to be a fabulous day, and the racing is always great. The conviviality, the enthusiastic turnout, 35,000 or more, and the opportunity for everybody to bet on the card. And so we hope that this week we've pointed everybody in the right direction, and I'll be able to actually, with my Saturday selections, I'll be able to write up the whole card, which I've never done before, but it's irresistible. And you're coming with us to the Eagle game on Sunday.
Why not? That'd be fun.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. Another great weekend at Far Hills. For those of you that haven't been, make plans. If you can't come tomorrow, when plan for next year. It's only going to get bigger and better, or maybe save it for the 100th running in 2020. That's a opportunity as well. Sean, get lucky, and we'll see you Saturday.
Thanks very much, Steve. We'll see you there.
Sean Clancy, and you can follow Sean, of course, by Sean Clancy on Twitter, and Saratoga Special that he and his brother Joe and Tom Law, the outstanding publication that when it's not during the Saratoga season, when it's Saratoga Special, this is horseracing.com. Sean's unbelievable. 5 horses on Far Hills Saturday. Let's take a break. Plenty to do. I talked about Maryland and New York. Another weekend. We're running. It's unbelievable. We're running Kid Chonklin on Saturday. Can't go. And now Minute Mouse running on Sunday. Can't go. Beat the Eagle game. I know. It's a little frustrating. But we love Far Hills, and we love the Eagles. So take a break. Come back at the races. Weekend preview. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Breeders' Cup is just around the corner, and ExpressBet is your way to bet the top prep races from around the world. Santa Anita, Keeneland, Belmont, Woodbine, ExpressBet has them all. And not only can you get your bets in online or on your smartphone or tablet with ExpressBet, you can also watch the races from most tracks in crystal clear high definition. Ready to get started? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today to receive a $500 welcome bonus. That's $500 cash in your pocket that you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to get started. Think you have what it takes to play in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge and win your share of $1 million in prizes? Then head to ExpressBet to register. The BCBC is the country's biggest live handicapping tournament with ExpressBet. You can get in on the action without leaving home. Don't have an ExpressBet account? No worries. Sign up today and receive up to a $500 welcome bonus. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. When prohibited, National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfertello. Please visit us at PABred.com.